Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How are you doing, Mark?
Good. So I was thinking about what to talk about this week, and I was reminded, just thinking about last week, we talked about the belief for most of my life that God will make a way for me.
Okay.
And how last week we wanted to remind everyone that God has made a way for us in Jesus, and that's really, I was putting my hope in something that was false, that this idea that God still needed to make a way for me.
So really drawing the distinction, there's a difference between God will make a way for you and
yeah.
God has already made a way for you in the person of Jesus. That those yeah. are two very distinct things.
Right. Right.
And so that led you to want to talk about
yeah.
something else today.
Yeah, it just got me thinking about what other false things did I believe? What other and I realized that I actually believed a false gospel when I went to church at Followers. So I thought it would be helpful maybe to start out with what we mean by gospel, because that really wasn't, oddly enough, that really wasn't something that I grew up talking about.
Well, you didn't claim, it's not that odd. I mean, a lot of people don't grow up talking about it.
Well,
so.
In a church, I grew up not even knowing about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the gospel that, you know, that I heard was probably not the complete gospel either. So,
okay.
I mean, again, I don't want you to have an inferiority complex or anything about this.
Too bad, too late. Yeah, no. That's probably a good point to make just right off the bat. I'm saying a false gospel. You're saying an incomplete gospel. It's probably important. It has to be a complete gospel to be the true gospel.
Well,
right?
First of all, we have to say what a gospel is. I mean, gospel means good news.
Yeah.
And so Jesus came preaching the good news of the heaven, of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And we're told in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel or the good news because it's the power of God and salvation, the Jew first and also the Gentile. And so there is this good news that is the announcement of news. That's what. So when we're talking about this, we're talking about something that is, good news is not good advice, let's say. It's not something, not me telling you what you need to do.
Right.
That's good advice.
Right.
Good news is me telling you something that has already happened.
Right.
That is good and that is important. And so, and really, it would be largely the news that some kind of messenger, they didn't have email or text or phones or anything. So the way you'd get news of a far-off victory of your army was that there would be a runner that would come and he would herald the good news. He would be and you could often tell when they saw him in the distance if he was running like somebody had good news or running like somebody had bad news.
Yeah.
And so that person was the herald of the good news, or he brought the evangel. And we would sometimes talk about evangelism. That's a Greek word.
Yeah.
Evangel is a Greek word for good news.
Okay.
And so when you're talking about the gospel, you're talking about good news. So that's the bottom line. And then when I said incomplete gospel, what I meant was incomplete good news. So the message that I got, or the news that I got, was if I had a transaction with God, I'd go to heaven.
Okay.
Which meant transaction with God was if I said, and this is going to sound terrible, if I said the magic words, like, forgive me for my sins and come into my heart, or something to that effect, what was typically called the sinner's prayer, then I would be set to go.
Right.
And it didn't, the news didn't have really much to do with anything ongoing or anything that would happen to me, except that when I died, I would go to the good place, not the bad place.
Right.
And it was incomplete in that the good place somehow was just, I was sort of floating around, you know, with a harp and wings and stuff. I don't know what I was doing.
Right.
So really it was more of a transaction than it was really news. You know, that was basically an announcement that if you make a transaction with God, you're going to be okay.
Right.
Which is different than good news.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we're talking about the good news or the gospel, what we're talking about when we say that is that we believe that the good news centers on the person and work of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, I delivered to you of first importance the gospel. And he talks about how that Christ died and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. And so this news is that Jesus was a real person, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, and then rose again, came to life again, and then ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of God. And the news is about what Jesus has done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what the news is. And so the news centers on Jesus, but I would say if you're going to really understand the news about Jesus, you have to kind of understand the whole story into which that news fits.
Right.
And the whole story really is this, what I would say is the story of the gospel. It's the story that God is writing in the world that finds its climax and its main point, its centerpiece in the work of Jesus. And so there, like any story that you tell, you know, there'd be or maybe a joke, you know, you'd have the setup and then you have the punchline. There's a structure to a joke. There's a structure to a story. There's a, you know, the opening scene, and then there's the conflict, and then there's the partial resolution, then there's worse conflict, then there's more conflict, and then there's finally, you know, some kind of a resolution, and then the last little bit wraps it up, and they all live happily ever after. Some, you know, there's some story structure to any story you hear.
Right.
The structure to the story of the gospel, and you'll see right where the centerpiece is in a second, but the structure of the true gospel we really label it in four words: creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And those four words sort of form the arc of the story. And creation merely admits that the story had a beginning, and that the beginning was caused by God, and he created the world, he created you and me, and he made it perfect, and he made it with purpose. Mm-hmm. So that the creation had meaning, and it held together, and it was purposeful. And I mean, of course, that's the Bible starts with that, page one. But
yeah.
You know, the purpose of it's really clear when in Colossians it says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And this creation was made by God for God in a way that everything was perfect and as it should be, and that would be wonderful if it was still that way.
Right.
But the second movement of the story is what we call the fall, which is where the sort of the rupture in this good and perfect world happens. And that's when Adam and Eve took the bite out of the fruit of the tree that they weren't supposed to eat from. And when they did, it was an act of rebellion against and defiance against God, and an attempt for them to set themselves up as their own little gods.
Yeah.
And when that happened, then not only humanity, but all of creation really broke. And scripture all over talks about this, and as does human experience. So yeah. I mean, this is one of those easily verifiable parts of the story. But Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I mean, creation was made for God's glory, and when we sin, we fall short of it and are culpable then before God for our rebellion and treatment of Him, basically.
Yeah.
The third movement or third part of the story, I would say, is we label redemption, which means this is how the story gets fixed. The brokenness gets repaired. The all of the emptiness is made whole here, and that is the and God began doing that right after the fall. I mean, we were told right away that there would come along the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent as the serpent bruised the heel of the seed of the woman, and that is. You know, that's the first hint we have that God is beginning this redemption process. And he does it largely through his chosen people, the seed of Abraham, the children of Abraham. And the promise to Abraham is that he would raise up for, through Abraham, a seed who would bless all the nations. In other words, there would be this glory that came to God through this seed of Abraham that then, you know, he had a child in his old age, Isaac, who had children in his old age, Jacob and Esau, who then the children, Jacob, was his name was changed to Israel, and we have the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt and all the things where God was beginning to rescue not only those people, but the world through those people. And that was as God did that, the people continued in their rebellion and continued in their dismissal of God as important in their life. And this plan of redemption didn't find its triumph in those people, but in the one seed of Abraham, who's namely Jesus. And in Jesus, he came and he actually did what God intended to do all along, which was save the world. Mm-hmm. And he did it by living a perfect life, dying, like we mentioned before, rising again and ascending and being seated at the right hand of God. And that is what he is doing now, but it is the work of Jesus that is the centerpiece of this announcement, that finally someone has come who will do the redeeming and the rescuing of this rebellious humanity that God intended to do all along, and his name is Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we've been justified or made right with God, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And this peace with God is the thing that we lost when we rebelled and fell. It's the thing that's restored now in Jesus. Hmm. And so finally, then, the restoration is, what does it look like when it's all done? Or once we're saved from our brokenness, what does it look like when it's perfect? In Revelation 21, 3 says better than I can explain it. It just says, after the new heavens, new earth come, it says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away."
Yeah.
And so that's really how the Christian story ends up. God having reconciled people, made peace with God, and that peace of God finally expresses itself in the end when we're his people and he himself will be with us as our God and wipe away every tear from ours. And so the good news ultimately ends up with really, really good news. I mean, that's the whole point of it, is it pointing somewhere. And so that outline, creation, fall, redemption, restoration is kind of an outline for a lot of the stories that we tell ourselves, a lot of the stories we believe. I've done this, taught a class a couple weeks ago, and I pointed out how political stories have this same narrative structure or arc where, you know, the nation began, you might say, perfectly, and some, you know, problem, maybe it's immorality, maybe it's government overreach, maybe something else came, and there, that's the fall, and then the redemption comes because there's a great Savior comes and campaigns for your vote, and he'll rescue you from whatever problem you have, and then the whole world will be perfect again. That's, you know, that's sort of the political narrative arc, and that happens all the time. We think that, you know, this emptiness we feel, God made us to be full. This emptiness we feel will be filled if we have children, or this emptiness we feel will be filled if we have enough money or a comfortable house or, you know, some meaningful job. And then we find out that all of these other stories that are not this one story that God is writing, if I'm writing this story, it doesn't, you know, it's the same, it parallels it. So I hear the echoes of the original story. I see, you know, sort of the shadow, but I don't really have the substance of the story. So anyway, that's my quick overview as fast as I can go on what I think the good news is. But
oh, that's great. And I think you talk about those parallels. I think it's easy to convince yourself that you're believing the true gospel because you can hear those echoes in what you're believing. And you think you can convince yourself really easily that that you're on track.
It might be the same tune, but it's a different song.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking about that in kind of what was the story that I told myself when I was at Followers. And I would probably say that our creation, I always think of that, like the creation and the restoration, it's like they end up back to creation again, right? With only
well, it's not circular. I mean, it's in it,
no, it's not circular,
but it's similar. I mean, the restaurant, you're restored to essentially what God intended in the beginning. What
exactly? That's a better way of saying it. Yeah, thanks. And so it a lot of times is what was it supposed to be like? And that's what I
that's kind of my creation.
What was it supposed to be like? And for me growing up, it was always about how Followers was started. The right man was called. We had it right at one point. It was good when we had preaching, we had baptism, we had all the other the supper, the foot washing, all those things that we did. That's when it was good. That's what I was always told. That's what I believed. But I never really experienced that in my lifetime. That was always just a story. So it was, I was...
Now, is that, that's kind of a corporate story of the whole One Right Church, right? Is that what you're saying?
It's not an individual story.
You're not writing your own story here.
No.
You're fitting... And I think that's important. I mean, you're not writing a true gospel story either. You're fitting into the story God's telling.
Yeah.
You know, you're fitting in by faith there, but you're fitting into this other story is what you're saying.
Right. Right. Yeah. And So in a way I was kind of born after the fall, you might say. At Followers,
there was a fall.
There was a fall. And the fall that I always told myself was the fall was that the preacher died, that baptism ended, that nobody knew could come into the church. You know, we couldn't call the elders when someone was sick now.
You still had to avoid medical care, right?
Yeah, you were still expected to put your faith in God.
But you didn't have elders come pray for you, but somehow you had...
Yeah, and we used to be able to do that, and that was always looked back. I wish we could still do that, you know, looking back at the good old days, kind of, when we were able to do those things. And so that became the fall.
Interesting.
And then the redemption is where it gets a little different, depending on the groups that you're talking to. But the redemption for a lot of people was that we need God to call a new preacher. We need another man called so that we can get back all those things, the baptism, the...
Well, that would have redeemed the situation.
That would have redeemed the situation. Yeah. And for others, it was like, I almost want it just ignoring the fall. Like, we're okay anyway without... There was no fall. I think they would just convince themselves, and I probably did too for a while. Like, we're just, we'll just be content, and whatever state we're found would be a common thing that we would say. And so then where it gets really a little foggy for me is on the restoration piece of it. And it's I don't know. I mean, really the end of your life or the end of the world, remaining in followers, being at followers at that time was really how you're saved. That was you'd get to go to heaven then if you had done a good job and stayed at followers.
So that, and you're saying that that's like the final movement of the story, the restoration piece? Is that kind of what you're saying?
It gets foggy. It's somewhere between that redemption and restoration piece, because that's all we talked about. Then you would get to go to heaven because of that, but we never really, at least I never really talked about what heaven was like. It was almost like you cross the finish line if you die at followers without seeking medical care.
And if you did that, then you made it.
Then you made it.
But no real talk about what you made it to.
Yeah, no, I remember hearing about what Walter thought heaven would be like, or I remember the streets were made of gold and that there would be no more tears, no, you know, I know we sang songs about that.
Okay.
That there would be, that it would be better. It would be better than here. But I kind of think that what I imagined was that it would just be that all of our family members who had previously died at followers would just all be together again, only in a spiritual place instead of on the earth. I just had a really strange, I think it's strange now, but it seemed completely normal to me at the time.
And they're not, I mean, there are a lot of people who that's as far as their vision goes for what the end of the story looks like, is I get to be with some people I like.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it strikes me as sort of aimed short of the prize there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think one of the interesting things, I mean, when I asked you about if it was a corporate story and you said it was, you know, one of the things that, like every story, you enter into a story. I mean, you don't make up the story. You enter into it, and you were born there. And so your experience of the creation story is you were born in the right place.
Yeah, yeah.
And by luck of the draw or something, you were born in the right place.
Yeah, we called it winning the spiritual lottery.
For real?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
not saying everybody did, but that's what we...
Okay.
When I started questioning about it, that was kind of am I supposed to just believe that I just won the spiritual lottery, that I just got to be born in the right place? And yeah, I mean, nobody really had anything else, but yeah.
Yeah, so you're entering in, is you're believing that yes, in fact, you're born in the right place.
Yeah.
You know, there, as far as your experience of what you described as a fall, would be just you enter into that believing that that's going to work, or that that's that really is a problem, that you know, in that sickness is a problem and enduring it is going to be the way, if hanging around in the church when there is no preaching and no baptism, that's really the way, that, you know. And so that's sort of how you experience the fall, and then also kind of how you experience redemption is by hanging on yourself and doing it yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, I went through so many different phases of this. Like, I really think I told myself so many different versions of this story. But that was certainly one of the, when when I believed that we were just okay, I probably started out with that we're just okay. I was born in the right place, and I'll just be fine if I hang on till the end. So mm-hmm. I really just went right from I just imagined there wasn't a fall, I think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that would probably be a totally different episode to talk
about.
But
even then, yeah, it would be. Yeah. But hanging on, I mean, hanging on is something that you do kind of out of, you know, your own gumption, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's how you enter into it, the story then. Yeah. And I think that's important, is that you enter into it by your own effort and your own determination and your own willpower, that yeah. you're going to be, you know, if the grass is greener, doesn't matter, you're going to stay here.
Yeah.
And that's going to be how you
yeah.
are, how you endure to the end, so mm-hmm. that you can be saved.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I just keep thinking about that, just ignoring that there was a fall. I think I went through a lot of that. But then once I realized something's wrong, like you said, we just have something inside of us that tells us something's missing. Like I don't know how else to explain it, but something's wrong. I didn't know the true gospel to go to. I started grabbing these other stories that people were telling, and oh yeah, we do just need another preacher. Mm-hmm. That's the, I was looking for redemption from something other than Jesus. I was looking for it through our traditions. We need our traditions to be restored to us so that they can save us. You know, and it's just I would say there are probably people out there on both sides of that right now mm-hmm. that are saying, yeah, we need preaching back.
Well, again, I mean, I think if you're not really admitting that God made you for himself.
Right.
And that you have, you know, you're beloved by him in his image, made to be perfectly in relationship with him, and that you rebelled against that, and that he sent Jesus to save you, and that one day he'll be your God and you'll be his people. I mean, if you're not telling yourself the true story,
yeah.
then yes, there's a sort of an infinite number of stories that are less than that,
yeah.
that have the same, that resemble the story, that have the same pattern, but, and so whether they're in followers or out of followers, or in some other, you know, group or a religion that is the one right church, you're still in the place of, you know, sort of, again, following that pattern without really without the news that Jesus yeah. has done this for you, you see.
Right.
It's right. not real news. It's a story, but it isn't yeah. real gospel news, good news,
yeah.
that somebody's won this for you.
Yeah. It's a good point. If you're not starting at the right place, if you're not starting with God made you for himself, mm-hmm. then Jesus can remain absent in all the other parts of the story as well. And he did in my life. Mm-hmm. He was not part of, he was not part of creation for me. He was not part of redemption for me.
Hmm.
It was, but that makes sense. If you start out with God making you for himself, then you have to recognize the fall. And I think that's, yeah, we can talk about that another time, but I don't think that the fall, that the biblical fall is recognized really at followers. I don't remember it being talked about ever. Like,
and by that you mean
original
just,
sin.
Just the biblical orientation, you know, that to sin that we're going to, we do sin, that we're culpable for our sin, that all of that you're saying is not part of the story.
I think it's a different version of the story. I don't remember a lot of talk about, you know, it talks about where through one man sin came into the world, and mm-hmm. and that we are all sinners because of that. I think I grew up believing that I started with a clean slate, and I was responsible. So I think that can get in the way of understanding the the true gospel too. If you don't understand the fall, that you are, that there is bad news, and that you, it makes the good news better. I think that was probably one of the big problems, is just not understanding the seriousness of
the situation.
The situation, yeah,
right.
Yeah. So,
because if the situation isn't that serious, the solution doesn't need to be that serious either.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Really, and that's kind of what you had there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's. Yeah, it's hard to think. You mentioned that I was, or maybe I said that I was kind of born into the fall because it was good. Our version of creation was when we had a preacher, but if we quickly change that to my version of creation was that I was born in the right place. Well, but it wasn't. It used to be, and you know, in there we could get all mixed up with those kinds of stories if we don't just stick to. The true gospel. So it's, yeah. Well, we would sing a song.
Say, did you ever sing the true gospel?
Well, oh yeah, we did all the time. And we've talked about this song on here before, but just to point people to any of the story, I could tell myself a pretty good story at follower, and like I said, my story is that my life went pretty well for most of my life. It was going fine because I was unaware of my situation. But I just want to point people to where they should put their hope. And we would sing The Solid Rock, and it says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." The chorus says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And so no matter how good your life is going, no matter how good the story is that you're telling yourself, if your hope is not in Jesus, it's not going to, the restoration part is not going to end well. And so it says, "When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." So that kind of reminds me of people who feel like they're stuck in a bad story. You know, when they're going through the harder times, you're not going to be able to convince yourself of something that's going to redeem you from the problem other than Jesus. And he is that anchor that will hold. "His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." It's more of the same. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. So it's the true gospel tells us that Jesus redeemed us, that we don't have to, but not only, which is good news because we don't have the ability to save ourselves anyway. So, I really, like every episode, I just want to tell people to think about the story you're telling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Think about whether you are ignoring the fall. Think about whether your creation part of your story is being born in the right place, or if it's starting with Genesis 1 and God making man for a relationship.
Well, I do think your admonition to everyone to think of that, about the story you're telling yourself, because we all tell ourselves a story, and we all tell ourselves many stories.
Yeah.
And really the litmus test, or the best the best story you can tell yourself is the story of what Jesus has done for you.
Yeah.
Because if God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the story of what Jesus has done for you.
Yep. We'll leave it there.
Okay.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.